Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. So glad you could attend. Come inside, come inside. There behind that glass stands a real blade of grass. Be careful as you pass. Move along, move along. Come inside, the show's about to start. Guaranteed to blow your head apart.
On this very beautiful Sunday afternoon, Seth and Sean Sports Radio back and better than ever. NFL Draft Preview, an hour-long show tonight on a special time, 6 p.m. Sunday afternoon. It's over, Seth. The tax season is over.
Yes, after 8 straight weeks of 80 hours plus, I have decided to come out of my little office and have a life again, which is why I am not in my apartment right now, but I'm walking down Madison Avenue while my very pregnant wife looks for clothes that that she probably cannot fit into. But that's okay.
Wow, really? You went there?
She looks great. She's 7 months pregnant. So, no shame in that.
Oh.
You've seen her? She looks pretty damn good, but she's 7 months pregnant.
But, dude. You don't ring the bell. Those are fighting words. That's not a good thing. Just let it go and just say she looks good. No need to.
She looks great.
The clothes.
She walked in. So either she was looking for clothes for her, or clothes for the baby. I couldn't really tell. So.
Wow.
So happy Passover, everybody. And Mr. Pomeroy got to enjoy his Passover in probably the best way possible last night. How was your intro to Mr. Springsteen?
Well, there are many different ways that you could say I can enjoy Passover, some of which may involve a young woman, others of which would...
We know you didn't enjoy a young woman. So let's go to the next one.
Really? Where are you today? where are you? I mean, seriously, who would you like to remain friends with after this?
nobody likes me anyway, so it's okay.
Well, what I saw last night, I spent the second night of Seder with one of my good friends, Justin Pollock, and 20,000 of my favorite friends and family watching The Boss, Bruce Springsteen. And if you have the opportunity, I highly recommend taking in and you have the means, because it was not a cheap night. Seeing Bruce Springsteen put on a show, I am in awe. I'm in awe that he is the same age. He is a couple years older than my mother, who cannot stand for more than an hour at a time, if that. And this man plays a 3 to 3.5 hour show without taking a break. And I only hope, if I'm ever that age, that I am able to stand up straight and upright for 3.5 hours. And at some point in my lifetime, I have an ability as good as his. Any ability. And that may be the ability to walk and chew gum at the same time. Because it is fantastic.
As someone who's seen a few of his shows, he really is something to behold. And there's actually a sports-related story with him. I forget who it was. I think it was in the book Breaks of the Game by David Halberstam. They were talking about how the Celtics had to convince Larry Bird to go to a Springsteen show. Not because he would enjoy the musical, because he would appreciate how much effort he put into every song and every note. And so he got dragged to the show. And he said afterwards, he goes, I wasn't a huge fan of the music, but could truly appreciate why he was called the hardest working man in rock and roll. And, you know, that sounds pretty sweet. I've been lucky enough to go to 3 or 4 of his shows, would happily go again. But he really is something to behold. And, you know, I'm glad you got the opportunity to see him, because it's a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
Now, did he open with Purple Rain?
He did. He opened with Purple Rain, a touching tribute to Prince. And We might as well touch on it now. Passing away of another legend. It seems like every week we talk about this, at least this year, the passing away of a musical legend. Prince has obviously a tie to sports, having played at, I believe it was one Super Bowl, a big part of the fabric of Minneapolis, including that of Target Field and the old Metrodome and whatnot. Just a shame. I did hear one interesting story about Prince yesterday, which I did not know. I'll share that here. Prince could play every instrument. There are very few musicians in the world, and having been, I would say, a quasi-musician myself, nowhere near the talent of anybody, period, anybody good, but at least I've played an instrument. I know how hard it is to try and master one, and yet he could master any. So when there was a problem with somebody in the band, he would just go over and play it. How hard would it be if you had a boss that could do every job? So if you had if you were not doing your job and you were an accountant, a lawyer, a doctor, or anything of those sorts, he or she could just come over and show you exactly how to do it correctly. That must be very hard for a person to work under, but tremendously, tremendously gifted individual.
Yeah. For anyone, I'm assuming most of our listeners have Facebook. And the thing that's been inundated on my Facebook is a video of him and Steve Winwood and Tom Petty playing While My Guitar Gently Weeps, one of the most brilliant songs ever written, at the George Harrison tribute many years ago. And as great a singer and writer as Prince was, sometimes he said his guitar playing gets a little bit underrated. You watch this video, you see how he plays it, and there is no explanation for how good and talented this guy is. And it's a shame, as you said, it's been a terrible year for celebrities in the music industry. Him, David Bowie, among others. I think Bowie was the end of last year, the beginning of this year. But I'm not going to claim to be a diehard fan, but you can certainly credit extraordinary talent, a guy who wrote songs that he didn't even sing, like Nothing Compares to You by Sinead O'Connor. There were a few other really big hits. And it's kind of even weird that nobody really knows how he died. They don't know if it's a drug overdose. They don't know if it's the flu, but I guess at the end of the day, it's moot. Just another big talent gone before he should be.
Absolutely. Sure. Well, from those teams, from those people that have passed away to those that are still remaining, let's move on to the sports world a little bit. And it seems to me, and Seth, you live in New York, so you are hearing a little bit of the same thing that I am. The hockey playoffs, and we'll get on to the football preview in a couple of minutes. The hockey playoffs are very much, at least in this city, reminding me of the Major League Baseball playoffs of last year, where you have the two New York teams that are both in it, one of which is old, has been there before, and maybe on the way down. And then you have the other that, while they may have touched upon the playoffs before, they are the younger team and rising up. So one on the decline and one on the incline. I'm very happy about hearing all this in and seeing it in New York, that the Islanders are the team that is the younger team, the incline, on the rise, while it seems like the Rangers, especially after last night's game and their defeat, are more on the downswing.
Yeah, it does feel that way. The Rangers have had a nice 3 or 4 year window where they could have won a Stanley Cup once in a pretty tight 5-game series for the Kings. They lost another in the Eastern Conference Championship to the Devils in 6 tight games when Adam Henrique scored the game winning goal in overtime. They just never could put it together, and it does seem that the window is closing. There are younger, more talented teams. Washington, the obvious choice, you know, the obvious favorite in the East right now. Although we've seen this story before in the nation's capital. But yeah, the Islanders are still young, very talented, and they're up. I mean, it's been a pretty tight series with Florida. I think they're up 3-2. I forget. You would know better than I do. But with Game 6, I know tonight. I think that's why this show, usually when we do our draft previews, we run an hour and a half. But it's why we're only running 60 tonight. So you can be ready for the 7 o'clock drop of the puck.
Yep, the puck is dropping at 7. I have thought about going down to Barclays again tonight as I was there last night. But you know what? Sometimes it's just good to be home. And so I'm going to watch the game at home tonight. Much the same way as I've watched the last two overtime games and overtime wins. And hope against hope that we will be playing the Lightning starting next week. And in what should be another interesting series if that does come to pass. I will tell you that the NHL is not very happy right now. With what is coming down the pike insofar as playoff potential matchups for Stanley Cups. Obviously, the Rangers are out. The Kings are out. So you have both the markets in L.A. and in New York. Philadelphia is out. Not that they really expected Philadelphia to be in, but
I thought Philadelphia was down 3-2.
No, they lost it. They lost today, so that's over.
Okay.
Minnesota, which is a hotbed of hockey fandom, they are out as well. So the Blackhawks are down 3-2 right. I'm sorry, they're tied 3-3 right now. They play tomorrow. The Ducks are up 3-2. So potentially, you could have, if the Islanders win today, you'll have the Islanders, Capitals, Tampa Bay. And hold on, I'm missing the team. What team am I missing? I'm sorry, I'm missing a team here. Darn it, where were they going with this? Here we go. My apologies. So Washington, Pittsburgh, of course.
I forgot about Pittsburgh.
And then if St. Louis wins tomorrow, you have St. Louis, Dallas, San Jose, and Anaheim. Not great markets. I mean, there are good markets, but the great markets are now out, or could potentially be out. So,
I don't know how big a market you consider LA for hockey. It's certainly not a terrible market, and certainly a good sports market in general. But I'm not sure how great a hockey market per se it is. Yes, the Rangers are out, but the Islanders do have a pretty nice fan base, both in the city and on the island. Washington does have a huge fan base. It's just a question of them continuously disappointing their fans. But if there's a year, this is going to be it. Pittsburgh's not bad. Tampa's nothing special. But I think the bigger issue is it just seems that, and again, this is maybe every year that this seems to happen, but it's taking a huge back seat to the NBA playoffs. And the NBA playoffs haven't been very good. But the hockey, which, you know, years ago, maybe it was because it was on ESPN, you just don't, unless you're a hockey fan, you're just not hearing that much about it.
Let me ask you this. It's interesting. Could Golden State's supremacy be more forwarded with the fact that they're winning without Stephen Curry? I mean, right now they're up 118-90. Curry went out of this game early in the game. I believe he only played, I'm looking at the minutes right now. He went out pretty early in the game. He played 19 minutes today. He went 2-for-9, 1-for-7 from 3 for 6 points. And they're up 30. Last game, they lost by 1. On a shot that shouldn't have counted. even without Stephen Curry the whole time. So, I mean, I'm looking at this, and this is incredible. Draymond Green is a plus 34 today. Harrison Barnes is a plus 24. Klay Thompson is a plus 23. You don't get those. Those are like, those are NBA Jam numbers when you turn off the computer help.
No problem.
Plus 34. So does it cement their supremacy in the fact that they're winning even without Curry?
No, because you're playing a team that has been as disappointing as any team in recent memory. A team that doesn't seem like they've been interested all season, kind of living off of what happened last year when they came back from 3-1 down to the Clippers. You know, a team that, you know, it looks like Dwight Howard can't wait to get out. Harden, you know, is a great individual player, but, you know, we'll see a little bit more. You know, I mean, again, even against the Clippers when you were playing against Paul and Jordan and assuming the Clippers get by Portland, I don't think take too much out of this away from the, you know, take too much from the series one way or the other, unless Curry's injuries last into the Clippers series.
Okay, fair enough. So let's move on to our NFL draft preview. An interesting draft with a lot of trading activity up at the top, to which I think we both assume that there's going to be two quarterbacks picked, one and two. Right? You don't make those trades getting to that point.
Of course not. I don't think there's any doubt.
So I have Goff going first and then Wentz.
Yeah, that's the way it seems to be running. Again, didn't love the Philly trade, I'll be honest. The Rams desperately needed a quarterback. If they weren't big on Paxton Lynch and didn't want to go for a Hackenberg or Connor Cook in the second round, then this is probably the way, this is probably what they had to do. When you look at a team, really good defense, great running back, they can get a wide out in the second round or the third round or pick someone up in a free agency. You know, this is also a team that's gone to a new city and they want a spokesman. And between Goff and Gurley, you have two people who can really run that. You know, Carson Wentz and Philly, I find it weird, and we've talked about this on Friday night. You know, they signed Chase Daniel to a $7 million a year deal. They signed Bradford to a significant 2-year deal. And then they trade up twice to get Wentz. Now the question is, do you trade Bradford and try and recoup some of the picks you gave up in the Browns trade? I find the trade a bit confusing, but I think they wouldn't do this to get anyone other than a quarterback. There's no other reason. So I agree with you. I think it goes Goff and Wentz.
Okay. So who do you have for the chart? And please be aware to all the fans, Seth and I did discuss this on Friday night. We pretty much made a mock draft at that time. However, it was completely subject to change, and I am writing down the picks right now. These are not subject to change. So, your Chargers pick. So.
Well, I think originally we had talked about it. I had them taking Laramie Tunsil from Ole Miss. I've actually changed my mind. They actually put some money into their offensive line. They have no secondary. Weddle's gone. And if by taking Jalen Ramsey, you have a guy from Florida State who can play corner or safety. He's kind of that Rod Woodson switch around kind of thing, although Woodson did it obviously later in his career. So I think they're going to go with Ramsey at 3.
Okay. Well, I know at one point I had said that it was not going to be Ramsey, and now I think it was not going to be Tunsil, and now I believe it will be Tunsil. So I am going to take Tunsil at 3. As you said, they have invested in DJ Fluker and a couple of other players along that offensive line. But they don't have a left tackle. They don't have a guy that they can just throw back there and say to Phillip Rivers, you're not going to get hit. And I think at the end of the day, that's what they need. I think they would actually love to trade this pick, trade down a couple of a couple of spots if they could find somebody that wants to trade up for a Ramsey, so then they can go pick either Tunsil or the tackle Stanley out of Notre Dame. A couple of picks down, but I think that if they stay here, which I'm predicting them to do, they will take Tunsil. The Cowboys with the 4 pick have a whole lot of needs, including running back. And I know on Friday night I said that the running back would be the spot here, that it would be Ezekiel Elliott here. I'm now changing that as well. And I'm going to take
dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, I know. But they are going to go for Jalen Ramsey, and they're going to go for some backside help. They have Orlando Scandrick coming back. They have Morris Claiborne, who's perpetually a disappointment. So I have them taking Ramsey here.
Wait, did you have Tunsil going at 3?
Going to the Chargers, Ramsey going to the Boys.
Okay. I'm going front 7 with the Cowboys. Greg Hardy is out, most likely. Randy Gregory, who is their second round pick, has already had 2 strikes against him. And we've been hearing that Joey Bosa seems to make a lot of sense. Now, the rumors about him haven't been really substantiated, and Jerry Jones isn't always someone who cares about that kind of thing. I see them going for the guy who's pretty much been a consensus number 1 player all year, and taking the defensive end from Ohio State.
I understand. Okay, so we got Joey Bosa going there. Okay, who do you have for the Jaguars?
The Jags, there's 2 names that kind of come to me here. One is Miles Jack, who's a linebacker from UCLA. The other is DeForest Buckner, who's the 6'8 defensive lineman from Oregon. They need defensive help. You know, they seem to have put together a decent offense with Bortles and what's his name? And the 2 wide receivers, Allen Robinson and Hurd. I am probably going to say they're going to go with Miles Jack. That seems to be the rumor. That seems to have been what they've been discussing since the outset. Although Gus Bradley needs a playmaker, otherwise this could be his last year. So you bring in the guy who can help immediately, and if Jack is healthy, and he's had some knee problems in the past, then that's probably where I would go.
Okay, so you have Miles Jack, and I agree, they do need defensive help, and I'm taking Joey Bosa for all the reasons that you said that the Cowboys should. I don't disagree that Bosa is probably the best front 7 player in this draft, and the Cowboys are looking front 7, that's where they'll go. I think they're looking back in the back 4, so the Jaguars taking Joey Bosa. Okay. The Ravens are an interesting slot. I can see them trading this pick. I'm not predicting a trade here, but I could see them doing it. There's two places for me on this. I see either a Miles Jack where they go for the defensive help, or they go for Ronnie Stanley and hope that they can cut Eugene Monroe out. I'm going to go with Jack because I think they need interior an inside linebacker, and they've been looking for one since Ray Lewis retired. So I'm going to take Miles Jack here, but I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if Ronnie Stanley is.
And I'm going offensive line, and I'm going the other direction. You had Tunsil going at 3 since I had him dropping. Ozzie Newsome pretty much takes 2 seconds to make this pick and goes with the offensive lineman for Ole Miss.
I'm sorry, you have who? Tunsil?
I have Tunsil going at 6.
Tunsil. And I would agree, if Tunsil is there, it won't take him that long. No question about it. Okay, so who do you have going to the Browns?
Oh. The Browns are actually 8. We're up to pick 7.
Oh, I'm sorry. Who do you have for the 49ers?
Well, there's a couple ways that they can go. I think they go defensive line. So I mentioned Buckner before from Oregon, And that's where I think that's where they go. You know, Chip Kelly, San Francisco needs a lot. And trying to figure out what Chip Kelly is going to do is always interesting at best. So I'm going to go with the guy he recruited many years ago, DeForest Buckner.
Well, you and I have not agreed on much in this draft, but we do agree here. So I will take Buckner as well going here. So number 8 is to the Browns. So I think either way, I think that this guy goes here. Now, I think this is the perfect spot for a trade. And I think that a team like the Dolphins could come up and grab Ezekiel Elliott. If they don't, I think the Browns still take Ezekiel Elliott. So I think I'm slotting Ezekiel Elliott right here.
The Browns need everything. You know, let's call it what it is. They are a complete and utter disaster and will be for a year or two to come. They need a name. I think what ends up happening is I do think they keep this pick. I think they trade Joe Thomas at a later point for a potential first or second round pick. But they need a name badly. A running back from Ohio State seems to kind of work well in that regard. And I agree with you. I think they're going to go there. They're going to go for the running from Ezekiel Elliott.
Okay, the Bucs with number 9. You're up, my friend.
Sorry for that.
What's
that? Sorry about that. I said sorry about that. The Bucs are up here. There's a couple places they go. They can go defensive line for the guy from Georgia, who's been running up the draft board, Leonard Floyd. They can go for offensive linemen. They can go for Vernon Hargraves. They can go in a lot of different directions. I think they go offensive line. I think you're looking at either Jack Conklin from Michigan State or you're looking for Ronnie Stanley from Notre Dame. They need a left tackle to protect Winston. And so to me, Stanley is the right pick. So he goes number 9.
Okay, and I say that they go with Hargraves at number 9, the Bucs. They do need defensive line help a lot. And although there are both of those offensive tackles around, I still think they stay there. I could see them trading back. I could see the Giants trading up and trying to get Jack Conklin here or even Stanley. But I think that they stay where they are with Hargrave. So the Giants to me are looking at the best of all situations right here. They have the guy that they really want in Leonard Floyd. But all of a sudden, in their laps is Ronnie Stanley, in my draft anyway, Ronnie Stanley and Jack Conklin. Wow. Jerry Reese is like going, oh, my God, I can get all the guys I really need. And I still think that they stay with Floyd. Because at the end of the day, the Giants are about putting pressure on the quarterback. And this is the way that they do it.
I agree with you. They just signed Janoris Jenkins to a huge contract. They still have Dominique Cromartie, DRC. I can see them trading back and picking up Laquon Treadwell, the wideout from Ole Miss. But they've done it. They've brought in spent a decent amount of money on the offensive line. I think, as you said, this is a team that's always been built on defense, always been built on rushing the quarterback. And at this point, Floyd's the best pick for that.
Okay, Bears, go for it.
Bears, there's a couple different ways they can go. They would jump at Ezekiel Elliott with Matt Forte gone. But their offensive line has been okay. I'm going to take a little bit of a jump. I think they're going to go defensive end. I think they're going to go from one of the potentially two players from Clemson and be picked in two defensive linemen from Clemson and be picked in the first round, go with Shaq Lawson.
Okay. And I think they stay defense as well, except I see them going a little bit more inside. And they are taking Sheldon Rankins out of Louisville. So here we are with the Saints, and the Saints need offensive line help and defensive line help. So defensive line, the number one on the board is A'shaun Robinson, defensive tackle out of Alabama. However, they're now looking at a draft where both Jack Conklin and Ronnie Stanley have both dropped. And they cannot believe their good graces. So I think they take Stanley here, and they run to the podium.
Well, this is a team that had one of the worst defenses in the history of the NFL last year. As much as I have Stanley already gone, but as much as I would, as an offensive lineman would be nice, I think they go stay. I think with Vernon Hargrave still on the board, I think that's where they run.
I would agree. If Hargrave is still on the board, this is absolutely where that would be the pick. I have him going to the Bucs. And it's funny, is you have Stanley going to the Bucs. So we actually just flipped the two picks. Okay, the Dolphins, my friend.
Dolphins, a lot of big names, a lot of minimal showings. New coach, Adam Gase. They can go corner. They can go linebacker. I think they need to go offensive line. They need some help there. I think they go Conklin.
Okay. Now, in my predictions, I have the Dolphins trading up here with the Browns. So they're picking for the Browns at number 8, and they pick Ezekiel Elliott. And the Browns are picking at 13 for the Dolphins. The Browns need offensive help in Conklin. They could very easily go for Paxton Lynch here. I can see that happening. And I'm going to stay with the but I think they're going to look to a defensive player, and I'm having them take A'shaun Robinson. Much to the chagrin of the Raiders, who were looking for him next. And that's why I think that they take him. The Raiders need defensive help. They love to draft cornerbacks. They also need offensive line help, and Conklin's still there. But I don't think they overlook Eli Apple right here. Much to the chagrin of the – oh, wait, I'm sorry. I'm missing a guy that I thought that they would take, and this is who I'm going to take with him. Reggie Ragland is still there from Alabama, side-to-side linebacker. I'm going with them. So Reggie Ragland.
Now, the last time they took a linebacker from Alabama, Rolando McClain really did not live up to expectations, to say the least. I agree.
Was it
that
Aubrey Bruce?
What'd you say?
Was it Aubrey Bruce?
No, it was Rolando McClain.
Oh, right. Okay, well, before that, it was Aubrey Bruce.
Well, he was Auburn. He wasn't Alabama.
Oh, okay.
But,
sorry.
And to be fair, half of our listeners weren't born yet when Aubrey Bruce was picked number one. Agreed, Raiders need defensive help. Mario Edwards potentially having a career-threatening neck injury, not helping. So you're going to probably – I'm looking D-line. So you can go A'shaun Robinson. You can go Jaron Reed. I'm going to go Sheldon Rankins from Louisville.
Okay, the Titans – you go ahead.
The Titans need, obviously, a bit of everything. You know, the thought is they the thought is they're going to go offensive line. But with the top three out, do you go Taylor Decker? Do you go a wide out like Treadwell? Do you just go for the best player available? I understand that they probably want a right tackle, so I'm assuming they're going to go Taylor Decker, which is a little bit earlier than I would. But again, this is what I think they're going to do, not what I'm going to do.
Well, in my draft, Conklin is still around. And he's their guy. I don't think
Lottie freaking law.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's what I'm saying. So, and I'm sure John Robinson is saying, "Woohoo!" He's all about it today. He's looking at the podium. He's looking at his cards, and he's going, wow, that really happened. We got it. That's what he's saying.
That's a lot of effort for a team that was 2-14 last year.
Agreed.
So.
But 2-14 and has made probably the best offseason move of any team in that they traded the number one pick.
They had an advantage. Having picked the quarterback at number two last year. There was no real need for them to go. It makes more sense to trade the pick and get the value.
Agreed.
You have them going Conklin at 15.
Especially if they get Conklin at 15. I mean, if they get Conklin at 15, they get everything that they want. Okay, so the Lions at 16, and it's interesting because when you have the quarterbacks that have dropped, that have rised up, so it knocks everybody down a peg, right? So are Jared Goff and Carson Wentz the number one and number two talents in this draft? I think we could both agree that they're not. But because they are picked one and two, teams like the Titans see Conklin and the Lions see guys like Eli Apple still there and Kevin Dodd from Clemson still there, neither of which I have them taking because they need a wide receiver more than anything else, and I have them taking, believe it or not, I don't have them taking Treadwell. I don't have them taking Fuller, who I think is a one-show pony. I have them taking Josh Doctson out of TCU.
The speedster. Yeah.
Yep.
The problem I have with Doctson is you're replacing Calvin Johnson as a 6'5 wideout.
Yep.
And to me, Treadwell is the, and I don't have them taking Treadwell. But to me, Treadwell would be that pick if they were going wide out because they would want someone with the size, not as much the speed. Detroit needs a lot. With Megatron out and retired, they have a quarterback who's prone to inconsistency, to say the least. They have mediocre everywhere else along the board. I think you go best player available. Which leaves me with two names. It leaves me with Laquon Treadwell, or it leaves me with Darren Lee. I'm going to go with Darren Lee from Ohio State.
Okay. Falcons.
I think the Falcons actually kind of want Darren Lee. I think they kind of want that 3-4 combo. That 3-4 combo. They need defense. They need linebacker would work. I'm not sure if Rutland is the right fit for them. Potentially a Noah Spence would be a right fit for them. I'm going to actually go D-line with them. I'm going to go Jaron Reed from Alabama.
Okay, and Shaq Lawson has fallen to number 18. And I think Dan Quinn, we got a lot of coaches that are running to the podium. And I think they're one of them. So I'm going to take them. The Colts need a linebacker, and they need offensive line. And I think Decker here is the perfect spot for them. I could also see him taking the center, or I can't remember his name.
Ryan Kelly.
But this is where I got him going. Taylor Decker, Ohio State.
All right, Ryan Grigson pretty much has to win this year, or I think he's gone. He has not had great drafts or made great trades over the last few years. I don't think it took a lot of brain cells to draft Andrew Luck in 2012. I think they take a shot on somebody. Noah Spence, the former Ohio State guy who failed the drug test and ended up going to Eastern Kentucky. You know, Indy strikes me as that kind of team with the structure where – where he would fit in okay. You know, they have a Robert Mathis to help him learn the ropes. And this strikes me the guy who admits to making a mistake and wants to move on from it. I think Indy gets in that shot at 18.
Okay, 19 to the Bills.
Now, I know people are discussing Paxton Lynch. I don't see it. I thought Tyron Taylor did a really nice job in Buffalo last year. They need linebackers. So, and that fits Rex Ryan to the T. I think David Harris, who's a solid middle round record that worked well with Ryan, I kind of see Reggie Ragland fitting that in Buffalo. And, man, it seems like we take a lot of Alabama players.
We always do. Well, Rex Ryan loves speed, and he loves pressure. And because I took Decker at 18, I have Noah Spence at 19. And I could also see them taking the troubled guy out of Ole Miss, Robert, who I can never
pronounce. Robert Amnesia.
Yeah. I could see them taking him as well, but I'm sticking with Noah Spence here at 19. Now the Jets.
I'll let you go first on them.
Yeah, well, so for me, the Jets have a three-pronged place here, and three players are there for them. They could take Darren Lee, giving them some playmaking ability to a defense, which they need, some speed. They could take Eli Apple and pair him with Darrell Revis, since there's no Antonio Cromartie anymore. Warren Cromartie's not 50 years old and could probably still pinch hit.
Did he play for the Expos?
He did. Well done. Or they could take Paxton Lynch here. This is a team that needs to win today. And because of that, I have been taking Darren Lee, even though I keep thinking Eli Apple. I'm going to keep them with Darren Lee here.
I thought you had Apple. I thought you already had Apple going.
No, I took Apple off the board. I had.
Right. I agree.
Going to the Lions, but I didn't pull the trigger there.
I agree with you that they go in the position. I disagree with you in the player. You know, the Jets could go O-line, they could go D-line. They're not taking a quarterback. They're just not going to. I don't see it. You know, this is a team that thinks they're a player or two away from being a serious contender. Whether they are or not is a different story. But I am pretty comfortable with the fact that they're not going to get significantly better drafting Paxton Lynch at this point. So I think you look offensive line. I think you look secondary. I'm going offensive line since the top four secondary players are out already, and I think it's a little bit early for Jason Spriggs. I'm going with William Jackson from University of Houston, cornerback, to be played with Revis.
Well, it's a good thing that you can't put him, Darren Lee, there because you already have Darren Lee off the board.
Right.
So you think that Jackson is a better player than Eli Apple?
I think they're different. I think Apple's a little bit more physical. I think Jackson's a little bit faster. It's hard. You know, in a lot of ways, this is always difficult because we don't watch 11, you know, we don't watch 11 games at the University of Houston. You know, I've watched a bunch of Ohio State, but I didn't watch specifically for Apple. I think they would go in either direction and be fine. I always prefer speed to size at the secondary level.
Yep. And
so
Apple, definitely has the size. He's 6'1". Okay.
Right. Jackson's 5'11", I believe.
Yeah. The signing of Josh Norman, it kind of takes away the thought of Eli Apple to the skin. Where do they go?
About a couple of years ago, people gave a lot of grief to Dallas for taking Travis Frederick as center in the first round when usually you have these guys going the third or fourth, and he's ended up becoming one of the best centers in football. I think the Redskins take that shot and go Ryan Kelly from the center from Alabama.
Wow. Okay. Hold on. I say wow because I had him here as well, but I'm taking him off the board because I think as much as I want the Vikings to pick Treadwell at 23, I think Washington really wants to make a statement here. And Jay Gruden loves his wideouts, absolutely loves wideouts. So I am going to pick Treadwell at 21. With the Texans, I think it goes back-to-back wideouts. And I think Will Fuller, who while I think is a one-trick pony, will play very well in that one trick when he's playing with DeAndre Hopkins.
I agree with you on the position. I disagree. I agree with you on your thought process. I disagree with you on the player. Treadwell, because Treadwell is too similar to DeAndre Hopkins. So they're either going to go with Will Fuller or they're going to go with Josh Doctson, who you already had going. I think Doctson, I think they go with Doctson.
Okay. Do we go, well, for me, it would be, do you go back-to-back wideouts here with the Vikings?
I do. Minnesota has a solid defense. They still have Adrian Peterson. Bridgewater is competent. They need a top wideout. To me, Treadwell is the top wideout in the draft.
So why Treadwell over why Doctson over Treadwell for the Texans?
He fits their team better.
Okay.
Houston has someone similar in DeAndre Hopkins, or that's the hope that Treadwell becomes someone similar to DeAndre Hopkins. Houston wants a speedster, someone a little bit different, not the big possession guy. So I think Minnesota, that's what Minnesota needs, and I think that's where they go.
Okay, and you like Doctson over Will Fuller in general?
I do, yes.
All right, for the Vikings, I think they need a wideout very badly. They wish Treadwell was there. I don't believe they would take Fuller. I think they're very happy that Casey Coleman is there, and they take Casey Coleman. He's got speed, but he's also got hands. Corey Coleman. He's not a Mike Wallace duplicate, which I think Will Fuller is.
All right. On to Cincinnati.
Oh, yeah. I'm up on Cincinnati. Sorry. I think this is where Eli Apple goes. I think he finally drops here. You can never have too many quarterbacks. You have Pac-Man Jones re-signed for one more year. But I think this is where he stops. And Marvin Lewis is loving this pick.
Oh, I think we go back-to-back-to-back wideouts. Since he loses Marvin Jones, loses Mohamed Sanu, I think you have A.J. Green, Tyler Eifert, not a heck of a lot else. I think you're looking at either Corey Coleman or you're looking at Will Fuller. I'm going to go with Will Fuller from Notre Dame.
So what's interesting is I also have three wideouts, but I have one pick. Starting one pick earlier than you. So I started with the Titans and go down through the Vikings. And you start with the Texans and go down through the Bengals. So I'm on 21 through 24. You're 22 through 24. And you have 22 through 24. 21 through 23.
23. Yep.
Yeah. And I agree with you that the Bengals could find another wideout. They would take one, but I just don't see that there's one here. The Steelers, and we got about 10 minutes left, so we got to move through these. I'm taking William Jackson for very similar reasons as you said before, but I think he's a better fit for the Steelers than anybody else in this draft.
Well, he may be, but he's gone on my board. To me, there's two names here. There's Kendall Fuller from Virginia Tech and Eli Apple from Ohio State, neck surgery. And he's passed the physicals, I think they go with Apple.
So I think that may be the worst pick that the Steelers can make, just for Apple is more of a man-to-man corner, and they do not play man at all, that team. So I think that may be a mistake on the board, but he's the right – he's definitely the right need. The question is whether he would fit with them.
He's the right player. Fair enough.
Seattle, I think, needs offensive line help, especially with Russell Okung gone. They would love to have Decker here. Decker is not around, so they take LaRavion Clark out of Texas Tech.
And I have him going offensive line as well. They're going to probably go – they're going to either go offensive line. They could go defensive line since they pass rush, ironically, wasn't that great. And then they lost Bruce Irvin. I think they go offensive line when it's all said and done. Their offensive line was terrible. They would have considered Ryan Kelly, but they end up going Jermaine Ifedi from Oklahoma State.
Okay, Packers, go.
Packers always need defense, and with defense, with the defensive linemen, with they always need defensive linemen. Let's put it that way. B.J. Raji retires. Kind of thinking someone like a Vernon Butler from Louisiana Tech may fit.
The first tight end comes off the board, Hunter Henry. Yet another player from the SEC, Arkansas. I think he is the – they have looked for a tight end since Jermichael Finley. This is the guy that they get. Putting him with Jonas, good size going forward. And now we come to the Chiefs, who are losing Justin Houston for the majority of the year, if not all of the year. So I have them taking Kevin Dodd out of Clemson.
I actually like that pick. That wasn't where I was going, but I think that makes a lot of sense. I have him going offensive line. You can never go too many offensive linemen. Jason Spriggs from Indiana.
Okay. Cardinals.
Cardinals pretty much go best player available. You could go Robert Ndiche would make sense here. You know, this is a team that, you know, it's strange to say about the Cardinals, who were a laughingstock for so many years. But I think that, you know, that's really not the case now with Bruce Arians there. It's really a steady team. I think this is where A'shaun Robinson I have dropping pretty far, because supposedly he is bombed in a lot of the interviews. But I think this is a good place where he could learn and kind of, and pretty much he's a boom or bust. And I kind of like the pick for the talent here. 29 makes a lot of sense to me.
Okay. I think they are looking offensive line. They have lost a bunch of offensive linemen, including Jonathan Cooper, who they traded to New England. And because of that, I have them picking Ryan Kelly. The Panthers are an interesting bunch, having just lost Joshua Norman to the Redskins, having let him go. And because of that, they need a corner. And I think they picked the best available corner left, and a guy that is raw in terms of technique, but tremendous speed. I think that's Artie Burns out of Miami.
I'm going to go same position, different player. I go with one of the most talented players in the country, the redshirt sophomore who was able to come out from Clemson, Mackenzie Alexander. With Josh Norman gone, it just makes all the sense in the world.
Agreed. Okay, Broncos, last pick in the draft. Do they go quarterback?
No, I think they go best player available. You know, Elway is not a guy who's going to chase a quarterback. They still could trade for Kaepernick. There's still other opportunities available. I have them going best player, and I have them going Kevin Dodd from Clemson.
Okay, I also have been going best player, but I have been going the guy I can't pronounce, Ndiche. I think they take – he is a top 10 talent. He is the Nick LaLouche of this draft. He is a million-dollar talent and a 10-cent head. So now the question is, will they be able with DeMarcus Ware and everybody else to be able to hone that talent? I think they might. So we went through 1 through 31. There's no 32 because the Patriots lost their pick this year. And interestingly enough, they tried to get that pick back, and they were not able to do such. Surprisingly, that Roger Goodell didn't give it back to them, along with the Chiefs, who they also didn't give back their pick.
So what do you think is going to be the surprise of the draft? What team do you think might just say, screw it, and pick a guy that either, A, nobody's heard of, or, B, goes totally off the rails?
There's a lot of teams that kind of I could see the Patriots doing that. They always, you know, nothing that they do ever seems to surprise, even if they don't, though they don't have a pick till 60. I could see, you know, you would expect a team like Denver to draft a quarterback. I could see them kind of just waiting it out longer than anticipated and hoping that a guy like a Hackenberg or Connor Cook falls to the third or fourth round. It's hard to gauge, you know, because there's a lot of teams you just don't know what, you know, people are talking about how the Redskins need a wideout. You know, yeah, Jackson and Garcon are in their contract years, but they still have them for this year. They have Andre Roberts. They have some talent there. Now, I don't know. You know, I'm curious to see where Hunter Henry goes. You know, I've heard rumors to Indy in the second round. You know, they just re-signed Dwayne Allen to a huge contract. I'm not sure why they would need another one. It's always with football more than basketball, it really is more of a crapshoot.
Agreed. Well, the first round is on Thursday night. Second and third rounds are on Friday. And then 4 through 7 are on Saturday as the draft has become the spectacle, which it is. Any final thoughts?
On the draft or in general? Since we have 3 minutes left.
More minutes.
Well, I'd like to – it's kind of interesting, as some of you know. I don't know when we're going to host our show next week, but it's certainly not going to be Sunday because I am throwing myself my 40th birthday party. Or actually, my wife is throwing my 40th birthday party for me. And I kind of look back over the last 10 years, you know, moving to the city pretty much at 28, 29. And at 30, you know, I was just trying to getting my feet wet here. At 35, Sean and I go through a party of about 150 people. And now, 5 years later, I am a husband, soon-to-be father, and running my own business. And just kind of weird to see how the transition has come over the last 5 years and how different I guess I am, although I try not to be. And, you know, thanks to everybody. And, you know, and even the show, which we've been doing this for, I guess, 3.5, 4 years now. It's just interesting to see how everything has progressed, and it's been a lot of fun. And, yeah, nothing really that profound, but holy crap, I'm 40.
It's profound. It's profound. So we'll probably host the show either early next Sunday or next Monday in between the birthday celebrations. So for Seth Gaimans, this has been Sean Palmer. A very happy birthday to Seth if we don't talk to him before that. And enjoy the NFL draft, everybody. And go Wild.
Have a good one.
And go, absolutely.